I want you to imagine a massive global industry, like something worth roughly $300 billion.
Yeah, which is just a staggering number to even wrap your head around.
Right. To put that in perspective for you, that is actually larger than the global film industry and the North American sports industry combined.
Well, wow. Yeah, it's huge.
It's completely massive. And traditionally, for decades, really, that giant financial pie has been carved up by the exact same players. You've got North America, Asia, and Europe.
The established giants.
Exactly. But now there is a new challenger entering the arena, and they are aggressively trying to shift from just playing these games to actually making them.
And that's what makes it so fascinating. Because today, we're looking at Morocco.
Yes, Morocco. We're doing a deep dive into the third edition of the Morocco Gaming Expo, or the MGE, which took place in Rabat from May 20th to the 24th, 2026. And our source for this is a really special retrospective report by Loto J Media, which I love because they pride themselves on, alerting readers when it's worth it and really helping you see further into a topic.
Yeah, they don't just hand you a press release. They really get into the mechanics of what's happening.
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack this. We want to know if Morocco's ambitious leap into the global gaming market is a guaranteed critical hit, or if there are still some major bugs they need to patch.
And honestly, why you should care about this is pretty simple. Whether you're a gamer yourself or a tech investor, or even if you're just fascinated by how emerging economies try to pivot.
Right, because it's a huge pivot.
It is. This is a real-time live case study. We are watching a nation try to build a massive, highly complex, creative industry essentially from the ground up.
Okay, let's unpack this because the scale of MGE 2026 was it was undeniably massive.
Oh, absolutely. The glitz was definitely there.
The overarching theme was Moroccan talent. And the Minister of Youth, Culture, and Communication, Mehdi Ben, said he really articulated this grand vision.
Right. He framed it as way more than just entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. He sees gaming as a crucial vector for youth employment and cultural diplomacy, putting Moroccan stories on the map.
But the most fascinating detail from the report, the thing that really signals the scale here, isn't just the minister speaking.
Oh, you mean the royal backing?
Yes. The expo was officially opened by Crown Prince Moulay El Hassan.
Which is huge.
It is a massive signal to the entire global tech community. When the Crown Prince is the one cutting the ribbon, it tells everyone that gaming is no longer just some niche subculture.
Right. It's not just kids in basements anymore.
Exactly. It elevates it to a sovereign economic pillar for the kingdom. It tells the conservative domestic institutions, like banks and legal bodies, that they have to take this seriously.
You know, it's funny looking at it through a gaming lens. It's honestly like getting a massive status buff in an RPG.
A status buff. I love that.
Yeah. Like having the royal family open the event instantly boosts the credibility stats of the entire local industry. It forces the public and private sectors to, actually take the quest seriously.
That is a great way to put it. But, as any gamer will tell you, a status buff wears off eventually if you don't actually have the gear to back it up.
Oh man, that is so true.
Right. The hype of an opening ceremony is great, but the government has to structurally support these developers when everyone goes home.
Which brings us to the actual framework. Because at the expo, the ministry didn't just throw a party, they locked in these landmark agreements, memorandums of understanding, or MOUs.
Right. The MOUs. This is where we start seeing the gears turning.
Yeah. They signed these with local financial institutions and international tech conglomerates, and the targets were very specific: funding, distribution, and infrastructure.
Because those are the three things that kill a game studio before it even starts.
Exactly. And the education side really stood out to me. The government is partnering with international schools to standardize game design and programming in Moroccan universities.
Which is incredibly smart. You cannot build a global industry without a guaranteed pipeline of talent. You need developers who know the industry standards.
Right. And then on the funding side, they're aiming to create dedicated investment funds to de-risk early-stage gaming startups. Because, making games is risky.
Oh, it's brutal. 9 out of 10 games might fail. Traditional banks don't want to touch that. You need specialized venture funds that understand that dynamic.
But okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. And honestly, a bit murky.
The undisclosed numbers.
Yes. The LODJ media report points out this supercritical detail. The exact financial figures of these agreements remain completely undisclosed.
Mm-hmm. We have no idea how much money is actually moving.
Right. So it makes you wonder, are these MOUs just like vaporware? You have all these independent developers waiting around for these high-level institutional handshakes to actually turn into accessible grants.
It's a completely valid anxiety. And MOU is a promise to cooperate. It is not a deposited check. And while these developers are waiting for that capital to trickle down, they have immediate problems today.
Right. They still have to eat and they still have to build prototypes.
Exactly. They need hardware and they need specific high-level skills right now. And that is actually where the private sector really stepped in to fill the void at the expo.
Yeah, let's talk about Huawei. Because their role at MGE 2026 was crucial, and they went way beyond just throwing some computers on a desk.
Well, they were deeply embedded in the mechanics of the event.
They ran 16 specialized workshops for the attendees. And the topics weren't just beginner stuff. They covered rapid creation workflows, intelligent systems, digital marketing, and the Oasis W ecosystem.
And let's break down why those specific topics matter so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how you bridge the gap between raw theoretical talent and actually shipping a product.
Right, like taking a game from a prototype to global publishing.
Exactly. Take rapid creation workflows, for example. If you are an indie dev in Morocco without a massive budget, time is your worst enemy.
Because the longer it takes, the more money you burn.
Yes. So Huawei is teaching them how to compress a 5-year development cycle into 18 months using advanced tools. They are teaching them survival skills.
And the digital marketing piece is huge, too. You can build a masterpiece, but if no one can find it on the App Store, you make $0.
It's a crowded market. You have to know how to sell it. And then, of course, you mentioned the Oasis W ecosystem.
Yeah, what is that exactly?
So Oasis W is Huawei's broader digital platform. By teaching these Moroccan developers how to use it for free, Huawei is basically planting seeds.
Ah, right. Because if the next global smash hit comes out of Morocco, Huawei wants it running on their ecosystem.
Exactly. It's a brilliant corporate strategy. They are upskilling the workforce, but they are also securing future assets for their own platforms.
And to be clear, the talent they are training is very real. The Moroccan talent theme wasn't just a slogan. They were highlighting actual local creators who are doing the work.
Yeah, the report mentioned some really impressive studios that were showcased.
Right, like Yassine from Studio Bonelbo and Zor El Hamgouchi from Kiddo Education Studio.
Yeah, blending education with digital innovation.
Yeah.
That's a really tough niche to crack, and they're doing it.
Absolutely. And there were also teams like Fauzi and Buyatar from Baliart and Outcast Digital. So you look at this and you think, okay, the talent is clearly there.
It's definitely there.
So I have a question for you then. If the talent is there and private giants like Huawei are teaching them advanced digital marketing and rapid workflows and the crown prince is giving them the royal stamp of approval.
That's what you're going to ask.
Right. Like, what is actually stopping these studios from taking over the global charts tomorrow?
And that is the billion-dollar question. And it brings us to the more sober reality outlined in the LODJ editorial by Mamuna Charki.
Yeah, that editorial was a bit of a reality check.
It was. Acharki has this great quote in it. Everything doesn't deserve urgency. Still, you have to know what matters.
Yeah.
Because having the skills is one thing, but having the structural ecosystem to retain those skills is a completely different fight. And right now, despite all the glitz of the expo, Morocco still has some severe structural bottlenecks.
The final boss fight, basically.
Exactly. And the report points to some very specific infrastructure deficits that make AAA game development incredibly hard to do locally.
Right. And one of the biggest ones mentioned was the lack of specialized legal frameworks for IP protection, intellectual property.
Which is massive. If you are an indie studio and you want to pitch your game to a global publisher, say a Sony or Microsoft, they need absolute legal proof that you own every character design, every line of code, and every song in that game.
And if the local laws in your country haven't caught up to digital media,
then the big publishers won't touch you. The liability risk is just too high. So without modern IP laws, Moroccan devs can't easily secure global distribution deals.
That is so frustrating. You do all the work, but the paperwork stops you.
It is. And the second deficit is even more physical. The report highlights the absence of local high-speed rendering farms.
Okay, yes, let's talk about this. Because rendering a modern video game is incredibly demanding on computers,
Oh,
right?
it's intense computing power.
Yes.
A rendering farm is basically a giant cluster of high-performance servers. If an indie studio tries to render a high-quality cinematic trailer on their office computers, it might take a week.
Which completely ruins that rapid workflow they were just taught.
Precisely. On a rendering farm, that same task takes hours. But if Morocco doesn't have these farms physically located in the country, developers are stuck.
Right, which leads directly to the most pressing issue raised in the source material, the talent exodus, the brain drain.
Yes, this is the tragic part.
It's like, look at it this way. It's like building a massive, beautiful esports arena, but you completely forget to install the high-speed internet.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right. If these Moroccan creators can't render their games quickly, or they can't protect their IP locally, they aren't going to just sit there and fail. They'll just fast travel to a server in Europe where they can actually do their jobs.
They absolutely will. The top-tier developers are still leaving for established studios in Europe and North America because that's where the infrastructure is.
So Morocco is basically training them, and then Europe gets to hire them.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the true test for Morocco isn't whether they can throw a successful, glamorous expo.
Right, anyone can throw a party.
Exactly. The test is whether they can deploy those Mayu funds fast enough and build the physical and legal infrastructure solid enough to make staying in Morocco the smartest career move for these developers.
Right. It has to make financial sense to stay.
It does. They have to plug the brain drain.
So, what does this all mean for you listening to this? It really shows the dual nature of MGE 2026. On one hand, it was a resounding triumph in visibility.
A huge win for sovereign backing.
Huge. But on the other hand, it's a very stark reminder of the trials ahead, the unglamorous work of laying cables and writing laws.
But there are some tangible next steps we should all be looking out for, according to the source.
Yeah, what's on the immediate horizon?
Two big things.
Yeah.
First is the launch of Game Early. This is going to be Morocco's first gaming incubator, located right in Rabat.
Oh, wow. So, an actual physical space for these startups.
Exactly. It's meant to bridge that gap between theoretical talent and an actual sustainable business. Watching how Game Early performs will tell us if the government's promises are turning into reality.
And the second thing.
This is the really exciting one. Morocco is gearing up for its first ever national participation in Gamescom.
Wait, Gamescom in Germany?
Yes.
That is massive. That is the global stage.
It is. Hosting the expo in Rabat is a home game, right? You control the environment. Going to Gamescom is an away game. These Moroccan studios will be pitching their games directly alongside the biggest developers in the world.
The ultimate test of the free market.
Exactly. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
It really is. We want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Morocco Gaming Expo. It's such an incredible story of
It
ambition.
really is an inspiring pivot to watch.
But as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with a final thought to kind of mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
When a nation tries to fast track its way into a massive creative industry, does the culture end up shaping the games, or do the demands of the global market end up shaping the culture?
Oh, that is a great question.
Yay! Like, as Morocco steps onto the world stage at places like Gamescom, what kind of stories will these newly empowered developers tell? Will it be uniquely Moroccan, or just what sells in the West?
I guess we'll find out soon enough.
We absolutely will. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.